You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
Now, a few weeks ago, we had talked about just the basics, the foundations of the Christian faith. Remember this? We talked about our purpose. What's our purpose? To walk with God. If we're not walking with God, man, we're off kilter as it is. We don't walk with God from 40 years ago and say, well, this is what I learned 40 years ago. We walk with God today. Remember we said something about have a daily time with God and have that time throughout the day. Put it in your schedule. You know, 10 o'clock, noon, 3 o'clock, and so forth. Put it in your schedule. First and foremost, if you are not walking with God throughout the day, we're not going to make good decisions together. Amen?
Amen?
Second thing, we talked about God's plan of salvation. Remember that service? That was 2 weeks ago, I believe. Man is sinful. God is holy. We cannot touch God. We cannot reach God because we're sinful. We have to have a substitute, someone who would pay the price for us. That's the man God, Jesus Christ, who paid for our sins. Now we have access to God the Father. We're children of God if we've made that decision to follow Him. Last week, if you have your papers out, last week we talked about what's our priority. This now gets into Tim's favorite word, the abiding part. What is our priority? And if you remember in John chapter 14 and 15, we looked at half a dozen or so scriptures that Jesus continually says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. If you don't love me, you're not going to obey my commandments. And again, this is not me preaching. I'm not preaching today. It's the words of Jesus in red and white in the scriptures. Man, if you love me, you'll do what I say. If you don't love me, you won't do what I say. If you remember last week, I said that, I read the first verse and it said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I said, man, that's the sermon. It's one of the easiest sermons I've ever preached, by the way. If you love me, you'll do what I say. Now, in reality, how do we live that out? Any idea? This sermon, it's not called a sermon, it's called a message. And let's call this message a teaching message. I want you to really interact in it. This is where the water hits the wheel. This is where the rubber hits the road. How do we live this out? Okay, God wants me to be obedient. How do I know what to do when a situation comes in front of me? Well, of course, that goes back to your walk, doesn't it? If your walk isn't there, you're not going to know what to do in the middle of a situation. So keep your walk firm. Now, I preached on this, oh gosh, several months ago, in detail, full thick in detail. I want to go back this morning and just for a few minutes hit these three or four areas of how we do develop our walk with God. And it's through those four areas of the head, heart, hands, and then our habits. Now, the habits are not doing something over and over and over. We do that anyway. But the habits is habitual living together in this church. This is how my gifts and abilities, what God has called me to do, interact with each one of you and how you interact with one another. Wolfgang has different gifts and abilities than Bob, than Mitch, and whoever else. How do we work together for what God has called the whole body, the corporate church, to work together? Y'all with me? Come on, wake up. Everyone with me? Come on. It's a short message today. It's going to be good. So let's go back through this. Let's take a look. And if you have your paper in front of you, the head. Let's talk about the head for just a moment. All learning begins with information that we input into our lives. All that knowledge goes through our brain. Now, the head part of our development, we are responsible for that. We're responsible. Joshua is commanded in Joshua chapter 1 to consider the whole law, not parts of it. Now, let me explain this. God is not going to have me walk down the street and whoop me upside the head with a lot of knowledge. Now, he's going to put things in front of me that force me to turn and say, Lord, what am I supposed to do here? But you don't pray, oh, Lord, give me some patience, and then not expect there to be some opportunities that allow you to be patient. He gives us the opportunity to do what? To trust him. To trust him. Now, a lot of non-believers see this as, well, shoot, God puts you in a lot of bad places. He's just having fun with you. He likes to put you under his thumb and kind of play with you, like a cat with a rat. No, God's not like that at all. Why does God allow things to come into our lives that shock us, that hurt us in the meantime, that make us doubt? Why does he do these things? To trust him. Now, he is not going to get in front of us and say, trust me. But when situations come my way, I want to turn and say, Lord, and he's right there. I'm with you. I'm with you. Again, my favorite verse on this. Jesus put all the disciples in the boat in the middle of the storm. He walked to them on the water and he said, fear not my presence. I am with you in the middle of the storm. Realize again, Jesus didn't say the storm will be taken away. He said, fear not, I am with you. Why is it so hard for us to follow him in the middle of the storm? It is a lack of trust. We have created a God in our own minds that when we pray and give him direction, he should answer us. Lord, I'm in the middle of a tough spot. Remove it, please. Lord, I want this to happen. Will you make this happen? If you do, I'll follow you. That's kind of what we said. And we give him direction when we pray. Lord, I want you to do this. Instead of directing ourselves to his feet, Lord, you're in charge. I'll trust you no matter what. I will follow what the scriptures say. I'll follow what your spirit wants me to do. I am in your hands because I trust you fully. When the next big thing hits your life, which could be this afternoon or tomorrow or sometime this week, don't look at it and say, Lord, do you see this? If you will come through and knock it down and say, Lord, wow, this is in front of us. I'll trust you. And he's going, yeah, I'm right here. I'm right here. And seek him out. Y'all with me on this? It's very important. But this all originates in the head. It originates in me putting God in my life. Did everyone hear that? Me putting God in my life. I don't sit there and say, it'll be okay, and when the hard times come, I'll just jump on God's man wagon. I want him there now, good times and bad, right or wrong. I want him there. So be considerate of this fact. God has given us the opportunity to seek him out today. And if we seek him out, he promises to be there with us. I stand there at the door of your heart and I'm knocking. If you will open the door, I will come in and be with you. You know who said that? God said that to us, to Christians. So open that door. Don't live wishy-washy. Get with God today. Now, Joshua chapter 1, turn there or read it up on the screen. I'm going to read through verse 6 through 8. Be strong and confident and courageous. Again, this is Amplified Bible. For you will give this people as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers, to their ancestors, to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do everything in accordance with the entire law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right so that you may prosper and be successful wherever you go. Again, reading it backwards, it says if you want to be successful and prosperous wherever you go, you keep this book of the law in front of you. This book of the law, verse 8, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall read and meditate on it day and night. Did you notice the two words? You don't read the scriptures like Sports Illustrated. You don't read it like a newspaper. You read it and what? Meditate. You read it and meditate. Now, what does that require of you and me? That requires some scheduling, doesn't it? And that requires more than just from 6 to 6:15 in the morning. Find an activity, find a place, find somewhere that you can go and be alone with God throughout your day. You guys know I'm a bicycle nut, right? Love to ride the bicycle. When things hit me in my life that I need to think about, I put them on the shelf for the moment and I write them down on a card. When I ride the bike, before I get on the bike, I pull the card out. And literally I say, Lord, I got 3 hours on the bike today. Can we talk about this, this, and this? And I put that card back in my back pocket or in my bag. And on the bike ride, that's why I'm so dangerous on the road, I think. On the bike ride, I'm talking to God. People think I'm a nut job because I'm talking. Do you know what I'm doing? I'm putting God in the middle of my day. By the way, I don't do that all the time. I'm a mess, just like everyone else is. But that's what I try to. I try to put God in the middle of my day. If you're not putting God in the middle of the day, who's going to do that for you? No one. You must put God into your day. And again, we like to talk about that ACTS, the A-C-T-S, and we say at 10 o'clock in the morning, put aside from 10 to 10:10, submission time. And at noon, thank God for everything he's giving you. At 3 o'clock, do your confession time again. And then later at night, do your adoration. Put God in the middle of your day. Now, guys, this is easy teaching. If we were up here talking about a class, I'd be saying, well, make sure that you do all your homework and do it in a timely way, right? This is what God's saying. I want to walk with you. I don't walk with my wife for 5 minutes in the morning when I say, I love you, honey. You know, the best times for Beck is when I call her for no reason in the middle of the day to say, I love you. Do you do that to God? Do you understand that makes God's day? When at 2:30 you pick up your phone, literally, and call God and say, I love you. Thank you for this, or help me with that. I just want to walk with you for a few minutes. That makes God's day. You were created for that purpose. You put that into your life. This is the head part. This is the head part. Verses 7 and 8, verse 7 and 8, as you see up there, say some pretty big promises, don't they? If you will abide by this word, if you will keep it in front of you, if you will not go to the left or to the right, if this becomes all of it, the teaching, the meditation, if this is in front of you, you'll be successful. What do you think that success looks like? This is your time where you can spit something out. You'll be successful. This is a promise of God. What does that look like? Lots of riches, extra homes. What is it? Healthy? Healthy? Trusting?
Joyful.
Yeah. He's telling Joshua, there's huge giants in the land. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. He is not saying, if you follow the scriptures, all that'll be taken away. He's not. He's saying you'll be healthy in every aspect as you go through the junk that is before you. Y'all with me? I was talking to a student a few weeks ago, going through some trials in the church. Can you believe there's trials in the church? And as we were talking, he said, man, this is eating me up. He's about 30 years old. Does it ever get any better? Yeah, it does. Oh, But it's not, the problems don't cease. In fact, the problems continue to grow. And today you're able to handle five or six problems at one time in the church. If you trust God, He says, He promises that I'll give you more. And with the more comes more problems. 5 years from now, you'll be able to handle eight or nine problems like this at one time. 10 years from now, 15 or 20. 30 years from now, you'll be able to handle 30 or 40 of these problems. You know why? Because you're trusting God and He's got you on a journey. Not a journey of training, a journey of development. I'm trusting God. I can handle this much right now. But as I trust God more and more and more. What did David say when he's about to fight Goliath? I can beat this guy. God's given me the lion and the tiger, or the bear, whatever. Lion and the bear, not the tiger. What did he say? God's been with me where? This much. Now this, yeah, I can do this. Why can I do it? Because God has developed me in my trust relationship with Him. It is not everything's clear, everything's beautiful, you ride the unicorn through the rainbow. It's not that at all. But you are able to handle, because you trust God, anything that comes your way. Is that not beautiful? God didn't say to Joshua, all the problems will cease. He said, as you walk forward and put your foot out, I've given you every bit of land that you step on, but you got to trust me. You got to trust me. That's the head part. Who is responsible for the head? We are. Don't for a minute get into a situation and turn back and say, oh Lord, where are you? If you haven't had a time with God, man, that's on me. That is on me. I hate the fact that in our schools a few years ago, they took out the ability to pray in our schools. You guys remember that? And all the Christians got so upset with all that. And I just wanted to say, we've taken prayer out of our lives. Why wouldn't it be taken out of our school? We are responsible for putting God in our life. Don't just walk around hoping something will happen. You and me. Y'all get this lesson? So far, so good. The second part. Look down to the middle of your page. The heart. Putting in good knowledge is only the beginning. To be effective, we must submit to His authority and lordship. It is in the heart that the Holy Spirit will use our knowledge for His glory and purposes. Trust is a key element as we allow God to change our ideas, beliefs, and feelings, aligning them to His perfect will. It's almost like, all right, I put God in my life. I'm studying the scriptures. I'm growing. I'm learning. I'm doing all this kind of good stuff. That's my part. When something hits, and it always does, what's our first word? Oh, God. Exactly. That should be our first word. Oh, God, this is what I've been learning. Step in. I'm trusting you. And again, He's right here. He is right beside us. He wants us in all those situations to go, oh, and He's going, yep, right here. Are you with me? Yep, it's right there. Now, if we decide not to turn to Him, we will continue to battle whatever we're facing. And He's content to say, I'm right here. Please, just turn. I'm right here. He does not force us to turn. Now, He'll put stuff in front of us, but He does not force us to turn. Whatever it is, I'll use a Texas term, that's got your goat, whatever it is that's got you stuck in the mud, you will not be able to get out of it, especially if you're a child of God. Do you know why? It's built in. He wants you to turn to Him. You will have to continue to struggle until you say, okay, enough, enough. Lord, I'll trust you. Do it quicker than later. Okay, trust me. It's good. Do it as soon as you can. All right, Lord, I'm not going to struggle with this. I'm going to trust you. I don't know why I'm in the middle of this, but I'm going to trust you. Look at Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. Trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on what? Your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, Know and acknowledge and recognize him, and he will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord with reverent awe and obedience, and turn entirely away from evil. Did you guys hear the words all? And all your entirely? What does that mean? This much? This much. All of it. Today we can say, does everyone want to trust the Lord in all things? Yep, we'd all go, yay. But in the heat of the moment, when our personal desires, when what we really want clash with God's will, with God's desire, you suddenly pull back. You say, I'll follow you in all things except this and this and this and this. Does that make sense? Some of you need to look at the friends you hang out with. Do they pull you down or do they draw you closer to God? Are they people that are disobedient to what the Bible says? Yeah, but we've been friends for 30 years. I understand. So where is your allegiance? Where is your alignment with his will? Is it toward Scripture? Is it toward God? Toward your relationship with God? Is it toward the other person? Boy, these are hard things, aren't they? What is it in your life that you're going to have to give up because it clashes with your relationship with God? By the way, as the Spirit is saying, can you trust me? The enemy is on the other shoulder saying, you can still have some of God and you can still have some of the other. By the way, you know who I'm talking to? Me. I like so many things that draw away from my relationship with God. It's a constant struggle. Just like Paul said, man, I wish I would do this, but I continue to do the other thing. It's a constant struggle. Every day there's something in my life, and I'm sure in your life, that God says, me or that? Me or this person? Me or your career? Me or whatever it is? Y'all with me? Stay with me. I'm about to finish. Stay with me. This is the essence of the Christian life. If you love me, you'll obey me. This is the heart. I know what to do. I've read the Scripture. I know what the right answer is. Will you trust me? Will you be obedient to me? That question always comes with, you get something and you give up something. Always. That question is never asked by God that says, yeah, you can have both sides of it. There's a song by Van Halen, Best of Both Worlds. You can have the best of both worlds. There's a good Christian group for you, Van Halen. You can have the best of both worlds. By the way, it's written in that context. It's written toward, you don't have to be born again. You can have everything else too. You can have both sides of the pie. No, you can't. What is this entirely? What is this all? God is saying, do you trust me with everything? Yeah, but that means I can't be friends with this person.
Yeah.
That means I'm not going to get what?
Yeah.
That means I want this, but I can't. Right. You have to trust God. You have to say, okay, you're the boss. You're the captain. What you want, I will follow. That's good message right there. That's really good message right there.
Amen.
We are called upon, guys, not to go through the process of learning about him. This church is not put here to have 50 Bible studies that teach us about God. And this church is not here to go out to the community and do this and that and the other. This church is here to draw us closer to God. If we are drawn closer to God, then those other facets of our ministry take care of themselves. I've said it before, don't put the cart in front of the horse. We are called to walk with God. The walk with God is you in your daily time, me in my life. I have to put God first. More than that, I'm going to read and study. My head's going to get all this knowledge and all that so that at the right time, the Spirit says, do you remember what we talked about yesterday? Now's the time to apply it. And my knowledge becomes His wisdom when I say, Lord, I will trust you in this. And God's going, yeah, that's what we've been working for. Are the bad things still there? Yes. Is the junk still there? Yep. Everything's still there. But I'm with you. My presence is with you. This is a message not from my lips. This is the Word of God. This is how He works. Those things in our lives that cause us hiccups, those things in our lives that cause us to wonder and worry and all that, God's going, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. Turn to me. He's not going to force us. Do you guys want a church that's relevant and effective? You want a church that makes a difference, do you?
Yes.
Here's the secret. You and you and you and you, you have to be obedient, personal, individual, with what God's called you to be, and then come together as a group. That makes a successful church. Y'all with me? If we can commit, each one of us, to building a better us, to trusting God fully, when we come together as a church, there's nothing that He cannot do. The negative side is also there. If we decide not to trust God, if we decide to do things on our own, then this church will be a social, fun kind of church that doesn't really do anything. It's our choice. It's our choice. Are you going to trust God? Or are we just going to do things the way we've always done? Man, I love being here. You know that? I really do. It is so much fun. And just teaching the scriptures. And I want you to know, this is not my stuff. This is godly, biblical stuff. This is as basic as you can get. This is 101. He loves you. He's got a purpose for you. His plan is secure. We just got to be obedient. And with all of our senses, we have to trust Him. That's as pure as you can get. Anyone that fights that, you need to look at them like, what is wrong with you? This is beautiful. We serve a God like no other religion on the face of the earth. He loves us. He died for us. He just wants to be with us. How many of you were amazed when I said, man, it makes God's day when we say, Lord, I need you, or I want to talk to you, or I want to... That's why we were created. He's waiting for us to say, Lord, yep, oh boy, here I am. I got a big cup of coffee. I can stay as long as you want me to. Y'all hear that? Nothing is too small for Him. He's just waiting for us to turn around. Okay, Lord, come on. Have you done that today? I'm talking to two people. As Christians, have you done that this week in your personal walk with Him? Things at work, things with your family, things personally, your sin life. Have you at some point said, okay, Lord, enough. Woo. Pressures, trials, whatever it is. Have you said, okay, Lord, I'll trust you. The other person I'm talking to, you haven't trusted Jesus as your Savior. Some of this stuff you're going, really? The God of the universe wants to have a walk with me? Yeah, that's why you were created. And if that's you, you can start that walk with Him today. You were created for that purpose. Now in a few minutes, we're going to go over and have a baptism, which doesn't save anybody, but it's a show, it's a sign But this person has made a commitment to Jesus Christ. Their life has changed. Why? Because they know that their purpose is to walk with Him, and they know the only way to walk with God is to take Jesus as their Savior, the perfect sacrifice. If that's you, if you've never done that before, man, now's a great time to come forward and talk to me about that. We can start that right now. In fact, since we got the water going, you can get baptized today. Amen? So, love you guys, and thanks for letting me share this message with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your deep and endless supply of love that you have for us. No matter what we've done, no matter what we'll do, you have forgiven us. Your only desire for us is that we walk with you. Through that walk, you'll tell us what to do, and you'll hold our hand through good times and bad, but you just want us to walk with you. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for the love, the acceptance that you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I give you this time of invitation. May you be glorified. May your Spirit work. If there's someone here that needs to know you, may they come forward. If there's someone that does know you, that they have fallen off, they need to rekindle that walk with you. May that happen as well, Lord. We love you, and we know that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we sing. Consider just for a few moments what a wonderful song. I surrender what? All to you. Sometime during the middle of this sermon, all of us experienced a catch. All of us experienced that moment where we said, everything? I trust you with everything? I think all of us have something in our lives that both God and our enemy know it's our soft spot. We like to hold on to that. It again, it could be your career, it could be your family, it could be this church, it could be whatever. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying, man, it's probably a good thing, but it's taken the place of the best thing. That's obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, take just a few seconds. Put yourself on your knees and say, Lord, I will trust you with everything. This week, I trust you with this thing. Work with it this week. Make it difficult for me until I give it to you. Father, we love you. We are in your hands. We're on your throne. But we don't want to be. We want you to be master of our lives. We want to be the sacrifice. We want to lay down and say, Lord, will you work in us? Lord, whatever is in front of us that we hold on to, that we hang on to, we want to give that to you. Father, we're moldable, we're pliable in your hands. We want to be the clay, you be the potter. The issues, the important things that we hang on to. Oh Lord, destroy that in our lives this week. Make it difficult for us to get through this week in these areas. May we put you back on the throne, not us. Father, you promise that if we would obey you, if we would keep your commands, that we'll be prosperous, we'll have great success. Lord, you've challenged us this week. And we take that challenge. We're going to trust you, Lord. We're going to believe that you are who you say and that you will deliver what you said that you would. We trust you. Father, anything that comes our way, we're going to turn to you this week and say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. We'll be obedient. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name. Man, what a good service. That was awesome. Man, that's some of the best preaching I've ever given to myself. Usually I get good sermons from my wife, but today it came from me. Hey, listen, right now in about 5 minutes, we have a baptism next door.
Yep.
And then the vision team, we're meeting in just a few minutes over on the other side. Grab a hand. And enjoy the cooler temperatures. Isn't it great? Isn't God wonderful to us? Look outside that window.
Wow.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Love you guys. And don't forget the reason for the season this year, please. Connect with God. When those things come up, please trust Him. Don't waste an opportunity to trust Him. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through, church. May your whole body, spirit, and soul be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. And the people said, Amen. Have a good week.